Well, perhaps you can take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the book of Mark, Mark's Gospel, and the chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, and here before us we have the record of the resurrection of our dear Saviour, the one who has power to lay down his own life and to take it again, the one who has power to raise us to life as well. Mark 16 and the verse 1. When the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were frightened. And he said unto them, "Be not frightened. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. For he is risen. He is not there. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you on into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Let's bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we, Lord, bow before you here this morning, this evening. We want to thank you, Lord, for the word of testimony which we have heard. For how, Lord, thou hast saved the Ormerod family here. And yet, Lord, we recognize just because we're saved does not mean we will never face tragedies and troubles. But we do recognize that, Lord, you will be with us through the hardest and difficultest of times. We pray, Lord, tonight the word of testimony indeed will be that practical example of what the risen Christ can do for any individual. As you look now to the word, Lord, we pray thou wilt speak again. And Lord, in these closing moments, we pray you'll feed our souls. Lead us, Lord, on with yourself now. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here clearly already. Continue with us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. By this time, on the resurrection morning, Christ had risen. The stone was rolled away. The woman had come and the woman had gone. They had went and told the disciples. The disciples had come to the tomb. They found the tomb empty. And by this stage in the evening, the Lord had already made himself known to many people that he had indeed risen from the dead. Men and women, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the clearest attested facts in all of human history. We're not going on a thread of evidence here. It is one of the clearest attested facts in human history. But before there was a resurrection, there was a crucifixion. And I want you to take your Bible and go with me to the book of Mark, where we are, chapter 15, so the previous chapter, and pick up the reading at verse 15 with me. Here we have the crucifixion now. And we read in verse 15, "And so Pilate, willing to content the people," the people pleaser, "released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged them to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, And they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews," mocking him. And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshipping him. And when they had mocked Jesus Christ, Son of God, their Creator, the only Savior. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Verse 24. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, and every man, what every man should take. And it was the third hour they crucified him. That's our 9 o'clock. Go to verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, 12 o'clock, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Ever before there was a resurrection, there was the crucifixion. And I know we focus and celebrate the resurrection this time of year, but why was there ever a crucifixion in the first place? Why did there have to be a resurrection? Why did the Lamb of God die? There's one small word that answers that, and the word is simply "less love." There was a crucifixion because the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, loved you. He did not want you to suffer in hell for all eternity. He didn't want you to be damned. He didn't want you to be lost without hope, without remedy, without cure. Therefore, the Son of God descended, became a man, and went to the cross to provide salvation and forgiveness for you. That's why there was a cross. That's why there was a crucifixion. That's why there was a resurrection. But I need to just say as well here, I didn't say that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. He didn't come to the cross to provide you with health. He didn't come to the cross to provide you with wealth. And if the Lord does give you health, enjoy it. If the Lord does give you wealth, thank Him for it. But the Lord Jesus Christ primarily came to make you right with God, to provide for you a remedy for your sin and to set you free. And the Bible says the truth will set you free. The truth, I want to lay out right here. The truth is this, that you and I, every one of us here, we are breakers of God's law and therefore deserve God's hell already. You know, sometimes we can feel sorry for ourselves and we see other people who are doing better in life. Maybe prospering in business or in their home or in their career or in their life or whatever. And we look at them and we wish that maybe we could be there as well. But here's the way to content yourself. Listen, we deserve hell. You're thinking about personal prosperity and advancing and you should be doing better. Listen, you deserve to be burning in hell. Why? Because God has made all of creation, and we are His creation, which He has made, and instead we break His law, we sin against Him. The Lord has made it clear, if you break the law, you must pay the penalty, and the penalty is His wrath, eternal judgment. We've broken His law already, we deserve hell, so why are we not there? Because of one man that stands between me and God's hell, and that man is Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross for those 6 hours. His value, His perfection, made those 6 hours of suffocating and torture equivalent to save me from eternal hell. And when He did die, because He really did die, and He was laying in the tomb, on the third day He rose again for my salvation. This morning, we were working our way through the resurrection and what we learned from it. And we learned from the resurrection, there's at least five things that we've mentioned. And the first thing we learned this morning was that the resurrection of Christ is a demonstration of God's power. You can go into a grave and you can go to a graveyard and tell the people there, rise up, come up. And what will happen? Absolutely nothing, because you haven't power to give life. But the Lord God has the ability and the power to give life to all men. He raised up Christ from the dead as a demonstration of his power, as the confirmation that that man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, was God indeed. Because he rose again as no other man has. That's because he is God. Furthermore, the resurrection we saw this morning, the resurrection of Christ is a seal that what Christ came to do is finished. What did Christ come to do? To pay for your sins, to provide justification. He's done it. And therefore, if you want to be saved, don't try it yourself. Don't look to anyone but Christ. He's the only one who has made a way for salvation. Two last things I want to leave with you today. The resurrection of Christ, listen, is the plague of another resurrection. Because Christ rose from the dead, that shows there's going to be another resurrection someday. A resurrection of every man and every woman who's ever died. Without exception. Should someone have been buried in the midst of the ocean? Should someone have been blown to smithereens in a bomb? I tell you, God said, I will raise the dead again. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's one of the most authoritative and full passages in God's Word that deals with the theology of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can read the whole passage yourself, perhaps later on tonight before you go to sleep. I would recommend doing so, but verse 52 will suffice for us this evening. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Let's read verse 53 as well. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see, the very fact that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, he called himself the first fruits of our salvation. What that means is he's the first man to rise again. But be in no shadow of doubt, everyone too will rise after him. Without exception. You see, when Christ came, he came to deal with death. Christ didn't come to eradicate death, because death still is here. We all die. But what Christ did do, he himself went into the prison house of death. Think of it this way. He went into the prison house of death and he burst the back doors open. So that although everyone will die and goes into death, as it says there in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're going to go straight through. Because the other end is open. The striking thing, God didn't make mankind to die. He designed Adam and Eve in the garden to live and never die. But sin came into the world, and it's sin brings death. It's sin brings you misery. It's sin that ruins your life, your everything. It's always sin. It's not God. It's never God. It's always sin. Sin brings death. Sin brings misery. Sin brings sickness. Sin brings all the things that we despise and hate. It is Christ who came to relieve us of that. That's what he came to do. No more suffering in this life. But their sister there clearly testified. Christ came to deliver us from sin's grip, death's stronghold. And that's what he did there on the cross. Now, for the believer, that's lovely. Because we know that this life isn't all there is. I'm going to die. I'm going to then rise again. I'm going to be with Christ. He's going to take this mortal and give me immortality. But what about those who are unsaved? You too will rise. And you who are mortal will be given immortality to live forever, but not with Christ. Suffering, the penalty of your choices, the penalty of your sin. The resurrection of Christ is a pledge of another resurrection to come. But lastly here, the resurrection of Christ assures us of a judgment day. Again, take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts 17 and the verse 31. Acts 17 and the verse 31. And look what it says here. Paul here has been preaching in Mars Hill. His subject is declaring God. And in Acts 17 and the verse 31, he's coming to the resurrection. Look what he says. Because he hath appointed a day. That's God Almighty has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore, he hath given assurance to all men in that he raised him from the dead. I want you to understand that verse. There's the resurrection laid out for us there. When God raised his son from the dead, he was assuring all creation, this is the man that I am raising up from the grave, and he's going to come back and he's going to be your judge. That's what Paul's saying. He assured us, the resurrection assures us that there's going to be a judgment day, a day when God, this man, Jesus Christ, will beckon every member of the human race to stand before him, and he will bring you to the judgment bar and judge you according to your action, to your life. Can I take the late Reverend Ormerod? Sister, he doesn't mind me doing so. What he did in life cannot be changed now. The moment he was taken into God's eternity, there was nothing he could do about his previous actions. If that man would have lived in sin all his life, if he had lived in rebellion to God, the moment he was ushered into eternity, that's it. No second chances. No more opportunities. It's gone. And that's why it is absolutely paramount that you know you're right with God now, because the judgment day will come. And the Reverend Ormerod, who stood in this pulpit, even in my time, preaching the gospel, and way before that, he will stand there and so will you, and so will I, and so will Mrs. Ormerod. And the Lord will lay out the books, and we'll know what we've done, and he will pronounce upon us his verdict. And I want you to think about the judgment day. This verse tells us because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we know he's going to be the one who conducts it that day. But see the judgment day when it comes. Listen, there's not going to be a jury there. We've seen a lot in the papers about the judge and the jury and opinions and everything else. But you see, in the judgment day, God will be the only one giving the verdict. And there'll be no jury because God doesn't need people's advice. He doesn't need second opinions. He doesn't need further analysis of the situation. God has all the facts. He already has them and possesses them all. And he will judge you according to the facts that are before you. And so when you look into the empty tomb, and when you hear of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want you to think in the five things that we thought about throughout today. The demonstration of the power of God. The confirmation that Jesus is God. The seal of what Jesus Christ came to do was completed and finished. It's a pledge of another resurrection. Someday your tomb will be empty. Where are you going? Heaven above? Hell below? And the empty tomb assures us of a judgment day. And you'll stand before it all. If you're not saved tonight, the judgment day should cause you to fear and tremble. If you are saved, you have nothing to fear because Christ has paid all your penalty for you, so you're free. There's only one response, therefore, to the resurrection. And our sister read it there. Romans chapter 10. Perhaps you can turn there with me. Romans chapter 10. The closing text. And the Lord, of course, makes no mistakes when leading us to the verses of Scripture. Romans 10, the verse 9 I want you to see. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's risen. You trust in him. Is he your hope for salvation? There's only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ who is the way. I can say, as far as any human being can, I know I will enter into heaven on the merits of Christ's work, and I see the Reverend Armour on there. And I am fully convinced there's many in this gathering I will see there as well. But there's some of you, if they are came, your sister saw as a child the fear that when the Lord comes there'll be that separation, that division. I know there's some of you will not be there. And that's your choice. Christ came to see you. He's there. And you're receiving tonight. Take our hymn books.